Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 53 of On Tap with Corey and Ira, where we explore Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Every other week here on KYMN Radio, 95.1 FM, 1080 KYMN Radio. We appreciate you joining us today. I'm Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And Ira, we're back from the Great Northland. After four episodes of Duluth Breweries, we're back in Southern Minnesota doing what we know best, and that's talking about beer with people who live and work in Southern Minnesota.
Yep, of course.
And this one that we have today isn't too far from here, just over in Prior Lake, which is a short drive from us, short drive from the cities. Who's in Prior Lake, Ira?
That would be Boathouse Brothers Brewing, and right downtown in the heart of old downtown Prior Lake.
So we catch up with Kevin and Emmett, the co-owners, one brewer, one front-end manager, and brothers by beer, brothers by water, and you'll get to hear that whole story. Not legally brothers, unless they're going to do some weird certification thing through the state, but biologically not brothers, but they're brothers in all senses of the word. Really good conversation, awesome space, beautiful space, and like you said, easy to find downtown Prior Lake. So we've got them coming up. It's a great conversation with those guys. What else we have going on today?
Yeah, so we, have, of course, always have our couple of beers brought to us by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas, and of course, Andrew will be in with a style of the week for us.
If you want to keep up with us, what we have come up on the show, Facebook's a good place to see all our future guests. Also, Twitter and Instagram are places to find photos and videos occasionally, and just updates of where we're at and who we're meeting with and what we're drinking and just having a good time. Search for On Tap Northfield. That's at On Tap Northfield. All three of those, you can find whatever you want to find out about us in the show. You can listen to this show if you're not listening to us live on 95.1 FM or on streaming live on kymnradio.net. You can find us on ontapnorfield.com or also on your podcast platform of preference. We're on just about all the ones that matter, I would say. The ones that people listen to, we're there. If they're not, let us know. For some reason, if we're not, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a great show with Kevin and Emmett from Boathouse Brothers Brewing. Stick around.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us this week by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering is a Bedlam India Pale Ale out of Ale Asylum in Madison, Wisconsin. We've had several other beers from Ale Asylum on previous shows over the last 2 years. So this one's, as they listed, a chaotic blend of Citra hops and Trappist-style yeast, giving this IPA passion fruit aromas and a bright hop presence. I think this is a pretty solid India Pale Ale, but I'm not being blown away by it. You know, nothing jumping out at me, but it's still a very good beer. I think we've had some better beers from Ale Asylum in the past.
Ale Asylum is a bit of a mystery to me. I've liked some of their stuff. I've not liked some of their stuff as much. This is somewhere in the middle. You know, that Citra hop definitely comes through. This beer has kind of a weird body to it for me. Like, it seems weightier. And there's definitely stuff suspended in it. It's a little murkier. Again, we're not brewers. We're not Cicerones. So I'm not sure 100% what they're going for here. I think it's an okay beer. We talk offline about not talking down beer, really. And we're not talking it down, but this one just doesn't hit it for me. It's not a – there's nothing that's
– maybe that's what it is. I think my palate I think I'm just a little confused by it. I mean, I would definitely get the Citra there. I get the passion fruit to it, but I'm not – no one flavor is really jumping out. It seems kind of be muddled a little bit. So,
yeah, I don't think chemically anything's wrong with it. I don't think there's anything wrong. I just think it's kind of a confusing beer to my palate right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that Citra hop, but the weight of it, the body of the beer, you know – and when I say suspension, I just mean it's not a clear beer. So they didn't clear it out, which is fine, obviously. But it's a confusing beer to me. And on the other side of the spectrum here, we have a Schell's Bock, a German-style dark lager. So everything about this beer is tradition, its flavor, it's good. I mean, those are the words that sum up this beer. It's a very nice Bock. We're getting into the My Bock season. We're getting into Bock Fest season for Schell's. If you haven't been, go to that, New Ulm, at their brewery here in Southwest Minnesota. This is a beautiful offering, an annual offering from Shells. Their Bock is a delicious dark lager. You know, and this comes in at a big beer for a lager. It's a 6.1% ABV, so this is a beer that's, you know, traditionally would sit through the winter and age a little bit and come out a little bit stronger. And it's got a nice dark amber color, and it's just got some nice rich flavor, robust malt, and it's ready to go. This is a nice, soothing, mild-mannered, relatively speaking, beer.
Well, it's got a very nice maltiness to it. It's a, you know, bold, almost biscuity maltiness to it, but really nice flavor. If I remember right from one of our first styles of the week, Brad the Beer Guy talking about Bock being basically when the snow started melting and you could start seeing the goats in the hills of Germany, and you know, so that it is really designed to be kind of in that springtime kind
of thing. Yeah, and timelines are kind of overlapping now. So this could be a winter beer, could be a spring beer.
Right, but it's
it'll probably be a year round beer if it's not already.
I definitely like this. It's again, Shell's keeping it classic. You know, they have experimented a lot more recently, but this is a very classic beer, but well done, nicely finished, nice caramel color to this one. As the seasons change, this is a good beer to drink.
Touché.
If you want to try either of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, they can be conveniently found south on Highway 3 in Dundas at Firehouse Liquor.
You know what to do. Look for the fire truck. We are now coming to you from Boathouse Brothers Brewing Company in downtown Prior Lake. Sitting with Kevin and Emmett. How are you guys doing?
Great.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We thawed out in time just to get over here for the interview.
Yeah, appreciate you braving the storm or the external weather and everything coming our way.
Yeah, so it seems like the polar vortex is done.
Well, perhaps. It's coming back next week a little bit. We'll have a nice weekend. It's supposed to chill out again. Not as bad as it's been, but I'm sure business has been booming all week, right?
It's been, we'll say steady given the steady given the circumstances. So we do have, you know, we put a couple nice winter warmers on tap, and that's been keeping everybody with their beer jacket on.
That's the risk of January Minnesota. You just don't know what to expect. We had a nice green for Christmas, which sucked, and then warm for a while. Then we got hit with some snow, and then freeze, and don't know where to go.
3 months of October was nice up until then. We're going to have a double February. So
yeah, so we're at the end of the month, early part of February, interviewing this, doing this interview, and this airs the 16th. So hopefully, weather's turned a little bit, and the groundhog showed the right thing, but winter will be here, I'm guessing, for at least 6 more weeks. Always is.
I think we're due.
So you got winter warmer on for a while then, right?
Yeah. We'll have it prepped. We got a few more that are in the tanks even and cycling through, so we'll have plenty of fun, you know, winter or more colder temperature style beers. Our goal was always to have something for everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we're eliminating any of some of the, you know, the favorite IPAs that have been on, or, you know, even Hefeweizen that's still up there in the Kolsch that we had originally around Oktoberfest time. We brought them back because they were popular beers, but still got a solid lineup of...
Shake your head at me.
Give me that. Rattling the menu.
Yeah, I need it.
Say those. Yeah, it was...
Hey, we're going to talk right through this.
We can do this. All right, there we go.
Don't take away the board from me.
It's part of the aesthetic.
Noise to make it.
That was just paper.
So before we get too much into the beer, we should probably let people know, for those who aren't familiar, where they can find you guys.
They can find us right here on Main Avenue in Prior Lake, Minnesota, just across from the Edelweiss Bakery and Lakeside Eats and Treats. It's a nice little quaint downtown spot that we ended up lucking into after searching for a few years around town. And as it stands, that's the only place you can get our beer. You can take growlers to go. We're working on crowlers as another option as well, with hopefully lake season coming back up again, maybe in the next year or so when it finally thaws out. But
give or take 18 months.
Yeah, exactly. We'll round up on that one just to be safe.
It's going to be conservative.
Yeah, and we're in the process of putting in for our distribution license as well. Cool. So hopefully in the near future, they'll be able to find us on tap at a couple of the super local spots, a couple of the restaurants and the liquor stores around here. We're already talking, and we have some verbal orders, but nothing's official until we get the stamp from the state, and hopefully that'll be coming through fairly soon.
So with the reemergence of breweries in the state, Prior Lake was a place that did not have a brewery. Did that play in your decision to come here, or were there other reasons to put Roots down in Prior Lake?
The reason for the brewery's Roots is because my Roots ended up making their way here about 6 years ago. My wife and I moved to town, and this was always kind of my, we'll say, pipe dream of someday and when we do and if that and that kind of thing. And she said, you know, if you're going to start a hometown style brewery like you keep dreaming, better be in your hometown. You can't, you know, move a city line over and then say it's your hometown brewery. So
sure.
That's where it started looking at every drive home from work was anytime I saw a for sale sign on commercial properties. Would that work? Or, you know, pull over and stop in the parking lot and kind of look through the windows and see, is that ceiling high enough? Or could that even hold up a, you know, 100-gallon tank or a 1,000-gallon tank, or what are we looking at? And so it was a long work in progress, but the main reason was the vibe that we wanted to create, a, you know, smaller scale or more quaint taproom feel, and the vibe behind a beer with, you know, every beer having its own story, and a story that hopefully everybody that gets to a chance to enjoy it can learn and know. And that had to be kind of that hometown feel. So that's why we wanted to stick around here in Prior Lake.
So you've been in Prior Lake for 6 years. When did the window shopping start? Was that immediately or in the past three, 4 years?
I will say it was, I settled in for at least 3 years, but yeah, the window shopping was definitely back already in, you know, the end of 2015 or beginning of 16, I think, is when we started kind of looking around and just trying to find out what would be an option for the daydream to continue to the next step of, all right, I can add another page onto the business plan kind of deal in my head.
Well, before we get into that, I guess we should do more of a full introduction of who you two are and what your role is with the brewery. Obviously, I'm guessing, Emmett, you have something to do with the beer, but maybe you should talk about that.
I'm Emmett Swartout, and I am half of the ownership structure here, and I mainly handle the beer production side of things, and then a lot of the casual day drinking and daydreaming also falls under my department too. But we've also
research and development.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. We've found ourselves. You don't get just one title. We'd have to hand out an entire index card or a Rolodex of our own business card for the titles. I'm also full time janitor, part time IT guy, part time. R&D would definitely fall in. That's more than part time.
So you can downsize back to business card. Just have your LinkedIn profile.
Exactly. Yeah. Just here's the web address. And then my partner Kevin is sitting right next to me. He's the half of the cohorts here.
Kevin Lethard. I am, like Emmett said, the other half of the ownership. A couple of the hats that I wear is taproom manager. So it kind of works out good because then Emmett and myself are not wondering who's going to do what, because I do kind of the front end or front part of the house. He does the back part of the house. But I am event coordinator, social media director, the other half of the IT, probably chief financial officer and other things like that. So it's definitely fun. I was not originally down here. I grew up in St. Paul. I lived in Woodbury for about almost 20 years. And
you made it out.
So I was commuting back and forth for a good year and a half, which was not fun. So I moved down to Shakopee about, I think it's about 9 months ago right now.
Okay.
We're about a month open and I moved down here. I think after that move, I cut 47 miles a day off my commute, because I do.
We look great.
Yeah. Thank you. but I also have another job in Eden Prairie working for Dell Technologies. So, juggling the two jobs is a little bit tough, but we're making it through. And my dream is to just be here full time. So we're working towards that. So
timeline tells me you guys opened about last spring.
Yep. April 20th was our first official day open. We had popped the doors a week before that for some kind of the friends and family and anybody who happened to test the door handle type thing, just so we could get our staff accustomed to just the point of sale station and finding out, all right, what's going wrong and what's going right? What can we change and hopefully adapt to within the next 6 days to fix it? Obviously, we didn't get all the way through that list, but that's the way it goes with pretty much any new venture, is finding out, all right, what's the next thing that we didn't expect to go wrong that you should have expected to go wrong? And no matter how many pointers we got from everybody in the brewing industry. And I will say that it was a big, you know, it's an outpouring of support from everybody in the industry. Everybody wants to see everybody else do well. For the most part, is anybody we talk to, oh, hey, you got to know about this, or here's a recommendation. This is what we found out. You'll at least need this for week one. And just the little things that we never would have thought of saved us probably, you know, a day's worth of panic in some of the, in some respects. And then even with a, you know, a full yellow legal pad worth of notes of here's the stuff we can't forget, we could have filled up two more with here's the stuff we learned that nobody told us about, or, you know, didn't happen to them and it just happened to us. So it was a learning experience right from the get-go, but that's kind of the way we jumped into it, knowing that this is our first venture for either of us into the commercial brewing setting, you know, outside of my garage was where most of the magic and our original R&D was taking place. So it was kind of, well, we've both, you know, either been in the service industry or we've been in sales and we've been in this part of, you know, marketing or anything like that. But the actual, to actually jump in and say, this is, you know, our names on the SBA and we got to make this work is a lot of late nights reading extra PDFs from the state or different agencies and everything.
Not for this reason, but it's a great time to spend your night.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Getting, you know, nudged. What are you still doing? Why is that light on? Like, that's my phone and I'm on page 3 of 35.
I finally learned how to study.
Yeah, exactly.
15 years too late. I, anything like that, I would be, going to bed early so I can look at it in the morning with coffee, because that just sounds like a you know, a recipe to fall asleep of trying to read that.
I will say it wasn't riveting, but it was that's part of my personality that sucks.
You're determined.
Me in. Yeah, trying to find something new, and when, you know, just even chatting with customers like, oh, well, how come you don't do this or why don't you do this? But like, funny story, there's actually 19 laws that prohibit me from doing that, or there's 20 reasons why we can't do it quite yet, or we have to wait till, you know, 3 months rolls around to figure it out. And they're like, oh, so you have a degree in that? I'm like, no, but I have a 30-page PDF that's on my phone right now that told me that last night.
I read 17 times.
Exactly. Yeah, I had to reread it just to make sure that I wasn't going over something the wrong direction.
It's good to be well read.
Yeah.
So on opening day, did you guys have a hemp beer?
On 4/20? No, we did not. But hey, anniversaries.
Is that the way the Friday fell?
Anniversaries. Yeah, exactly. It was. Yeah. We were. Well, you know, we were hoping that opening would have been 4 months earlier, so we could have planned. That happens, maybe had one in there.
And our pre-opening party was Friday the 13th. Oh, and so that was a great day to open.
You guys are big on the holidays.
Yeah, right. And it just so happened that there was a blizzard on April 14th, the day after we had our VIP, which fairly unlucky, and it started the night before. But so it was interesting, those dates, the Friday the 13th and then 4/20 when we opened.
So you opened April 20th, 2018. Take us back a few years when you decided, after window shopping, I need to go ahead with this. How do you come to that decision? How does Kevin become part of that decision?
We were sitting at a buddy's birthday party, and my wife...
Also April 20th?
No, that was in August.
And my wife who had tolerated me, you know, doing the brainstorming or just spitballing all of my ideas and random thoughts of, oh, someday and all this kind of stuff. She's like, well, when are you just going to do it? I said, because there's no way I can do it on my own. I said, I've done enough of that research to know that all the business plan, big air quotes for those of you listening at home, big air quotes around business plan was, I know I can't do this all by myself, even as a full-time gear. And she said, well, ask Kevin. Kevin had about half a beer left. Ask me what? I said, you want to start a brewery with me? And he finished his pint and said, yep, I'm in. And so 2 days later, we were sitting down looking at SBA loan stuff, paperwork, and drawing it out and taking our kind of homebrew operation up to what eventually became the rooms you're sitting in right now.
So just real quick then, you keep making references to all this, but how did you two meet to get to even the point of being able to talk about bean brewers?
And we're assuming the brothers in the, you know, the brewery name has something to do with this.
Yep. So we need to rewind about 20 years ago. And so my family had a cabin up in Breezy Point right on Pelican Lake. And Emmett's grandfather, which he can tell you that part of the story, had a house that was right across the lake and across the street on a different lake. And since we've been going up there my entire life, I mean, I just absolutely love it up there. And once I turned, you know, 21, I would go and frequent the bar that was called Dockside up in Breezy Point.
It's good to be law-abiding.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I was going up there a couple years, and then all of a sudden, I think when I was 22 or 23, I'd come walking in, and there's a new guy bartending. I'm like, who are you? Where are the other bartenders? And he's like, oh, I'm Emmett. And, you know,
you're stuck with me.
Yep. So after, I usually made it up there probably 6 or 7 times a summer. I tried to go up there every weekend. So I saw Emmett a lot the first couple summers, and we started to become friends. And, you know, we'd go on the lake, go to, you know, parties after the bar, you know, just kind of just
commiserating over our love of craft beer and the lack of availability of it there. Because when I was at Dockside bartending, our options for beer on tap was, you know, the big three bad boys of Miller Lite, mm-hmm. Coors Light, Bud Light, and then sometimes they'd rotate in Honey Vice, and then that would disappear and it'd be back to Busch Light or something on there.
Probably got Blue Moon at some point though.
It was in a can in the side part of the cooler. Yep, we had Blue Moon can. Yeah, exactly.
So the beer that we I think bonded over was the Liney Sunset Wheat.
Yeah,
I'm
going to show my age for bartending. The exotic beer we had when I first started bartending was Moosehead. to go with the Schmidt and whatever else was on. Yeah.
But sometimes you got to class it up like that.
Yeah.
There's still a case of that. I bet you sitting in the back fridge up at the cabin where I grew up at, like Kevin was saying, it was just kind of around the bend from Breezy Point. My grandparents had retired up there, you know, long before I was born, and my mom is a teacher, so we spent the summers up north. So I grew up living in my grandparents' boathouse with my actual brother, who is not part of the business venture, but he's also on the big air quotes R&D team as well. He's volunteered his liver and tasting palate for many a brew over the years.
You need support, right?
Yeah, he's also one of the guys that listen
to my
4 a.m. rants around a campfire of this is what I'm going to name the IPA when we finally, you know, get that one in production. So he was one of the other big pushers of.
So did you stick to that? No, I'm curious.
That
the IPA name?
I can't.
Oh, it's not appropriate.
It's not that it's not appropriate. Oh, no. It's just over 5 years we were chatting off the air about cease and desists and intellectual property. A few of the names that we've dreamed up have already since been taken by other, we'll say, bigger players in the market. But we're working towards adapting them, so to speak.
Well, we put it off too long. Let's talk about the beer. We've kind of dabbled here and there. We've been sampling as we've gone along. So let's talk about what's in front of us.
So what we've got in front of us, we'll start with, we have the CTZ IPA, which if anybody's been into our tap room, might have also seen it on the board as Smash One.
Single malt, single hop.
Yep, yeah. That's the acronym on there. And it was our first one in bulk in the big tank. So we had to calibrate our system, and we figured, all right, 200 pounds of RARS Pale Ale malt, and a couple pounds here and there of the CTZ hops is just a nice kind of, not necessarily mellow, but even keel. It's noticeable, it's presentable, but it's not overpowering with a citrus or too piney, too resinous. It's just got a nice even balance. So we wanted to go with that as just kind of calibration to find out what our kettle shape is going to do for bittering additions versus aroma additions, you know, mid boil or flame out. And so we've tweaked it a couple times over the last few brews, but this and the previous batch are identical, and we've kind of got it dialed into where we feel we want it, and it's gotten some really good reception from the people that are always drinking the IPAs that gravitate towards that one and say, okay, yep, I want that. Is it coming back? And it's back. We even had one of our regulars that wanted it so bad. I said, well, if you need it back on tap soon, like, you can come help me brew that day. And he sure as heck came in that day and helped me transfer tanks, and I put him to work for 5-10 minutes moving this over, and I taught him the glories of being in the brew house means he gets to sample a little bit, and he's volunteered to help whenever the CTZ needs to come through again too. So,
well, this is why we don't purport to be judges here of any sort, but word choice matters, because you said, you know, not too mellow, but mellow is the word that came to me, and I meant it in a good way in my mind, because it is a little more subdued. That piney IPA bitterness is still there, but it's softer. Maybe, I guess, is a good
it
way
doesn't
to put
burn
it.
You out. It's not like you licked a wood rasp and now you won't be able
but
to taste the
but it's very
next
pleasant.
Three.
It's good. Like, you could sit down and have a few of these, and you're still going to get that bitterness out of there, that hoppiness out of there. Not bitterness, more hoppiness than bitterness. But
I was going to go with an easy drinking IPA, if that makes sense too. Because again, you talk about it. Some people really like their, you know, IPAs dank and this and that, or, you know, really robust and big. And this is definitely a beer that I think is approachable, easy to drink. Could definitely have many of these, so I like this one a lot.
No, sure, yeah, and thank you. And it's one that since we've had many reviews, kind of along that same line, we tweaked one, and it's actually the second half of that same batch is dry hopping right now with a little bit more. We're still going to keep it in the smash category, but an extra couple pounds of CTZ in the dry hop. Yeah. Format, and we'll see if that tweaks it a little bit more and becomes maybe a nice summer favorite. We are pulling a few gravity samples off the tank and had to make sure that they were still up to taste quality as well, and we're liking where those are going. So
I appreciate the pine focus. I know everything nowadays is citrus focus or
the hashtag make IPAs great again.
Yeah, Lupulin, right? They put out one of those.
I think so, yeah.
That was make IPAs piney again.
There you go.
That was that's what
good beer. I like pine though, and we don't see much of the pine forward beers anymore right now. It's just citrus is ruling the day. So I appreciate that you put out smash with the pine focus on there.
Thank you. And that'll be when we were talking about kind of flagships or mainstays. That'll be one that probably holds its place on our menu board for quite a while.
Well, I think that pairs well with obviously your name and your hopes of being in distribution, being out on Prior Lake, literally on the boat with that. That could be a beer that could be easily drank while enjoying a little bit of sun and fishing. Absolutely. So,
yep,
yeah. So that'll and it matches. So our goal and one of the kitschy terms when people, what are you going to have for flagships? And I say, well, flagship is it already fits the nautical theme on that one, but we tried to tweak it. Yeah, the flag boat. So we were like, well, we'll do anchors that stick around, you know, around, and then the buoys will be the floating rotators that move around.
You guys have been at a lot of 4 a.m. campfires.
Oh, yeah.
Really, yeah.
I don't think we'll have time for it, but I really wanted to talk about your legal pad and all the things you've learned and screwed up on.
So, that could be the next episode when you guys come back. I'll dig that one out of Kevin's folder and
Emmett's notebook.
Yep. I've seen, though, that that I actually still have another job that I work 7 to 4. You know, I go to bed at a reasonable time. Emmett's more the night owl, so almost every or every other morning I'd have a text from him between the hours of 2 and 4 a.m. about, you know, two or three texts about, hey, let's do this, or this is a new thing. So there's a lot of 2 to 4 a.m. not conversations, but text messages.
So you get back to me spitballing ideas?
I do when usually, he's sleeping? Actually, I'd get back to like 6:30 or 7 a.m.
He texts me back 2 hours later, and then I'm finally out for my nap.
And he's sleeping, so then, but yeah.
So your phone's on vibrate, I assume.
Yeah, I did not wake up.
he learned how to ignore me during ridiculous hours, and I don't blame him.
That was just at the bar on Pelican, right? Or no, what lake?
It was so Breezy Point. Breezy Point Dockside is on Pelican Lake. The boathouse that I grew up in is on Lougie, or Lougie, if you want to sound fancy in French. but it's a tiny little dab of a lake. It'd be like one of the bays out here on well, a little bit bigger than some of the bays on Pryor, but nothing notable in comparison to like Minnetonka and some of those other big boys. So it's a nice little mile across, less than a mile wide. And when I was 10 years old and we'd go out and fire up the old gold Glastron and go for a ski run or take the wakeboard out, it was our lake for 5 days of the week. And then Friday afternoon, the city folk would show up and start making waves. And then that's when we'd bust out the tube, because I'll be damned if that was going to wreck our day. So we'll just bounce around brother and sister a little bit and see who can get a concussion being flung out at 40 miles an hour behind the boat.
Carried that with you for a while, haven't you?
We still can drive a mean pattern. We can do a double up that creates a double wake, and I've flipped many a cousin out on that lake, and I think we've only diagnosed two full concussions off of tubing behind that boat, but it was worth it.
That's only through like squirts and hockey, so you gotta work on your approach.
All right.
Yeah.
I've been knocked out.
Red Rye IPA, that's we've got that in front of us. Another nice offering.
Yeah, and so we took kind of a blended twist on our Amber IPA, which when we were originally coming into it, we thought, well, maybe that would be one of our anchors or flagships kind of set up. It was another approachable beer, and then we wanted to work backwards. This is working backwards from a name, and I'm sure it'll never come to fruition because of, like you said, intellectual property. I heard Disney's pretty good about coming down on some stuff. We did a sampling, and the theme was Star Wars out at some city function, the ice golf through the Chamber of Commerce, and the theme was Star Wars, and so or movies, and we did Star Wars as our golf hole, and so that was the last Red Rye. when it came out that The Last Jedi was coming out, and I said, "Well, we got to
get away with that.
We got to do a
has a lot of Star Wars.
Oh, truly, yeah. The Bowcaster is a solid beer down there too. I enjoy that one fully. But yeah, we knocked that one through. We're like, all right, well, how many ryes can we put in there? So it's got the regular white, red, and chocolate rye malt in there, and then three separate hops. It's got Centennial, Cascade, and Chinook hops. So it's got, you know, a little bit more. Obviously, there's going to be more character and a little bit more play in the mouthfeel and on the back end soft, of sipping compared to the CTZ. But it's, again, nothing overpowering where it hits your nose and punches you in the face and just says, here's, you know, more hops than you can handle.
I really enjoy it. I think rye is so underused. I love rye beers. So
it's fun. It gives that little bit of spice that you can sub out for using, you know, instead of saying, here's a punch in the face with hops, it's, all right, here's a couple pounds of, you know, rye malt and see where that goes.
Well, it's really interesting, too, just, you know, obviously wheat and rye, they each give a different character where we spend so much time talking about the hops so often with a beer that sometimes you forget about the grain can really give a profile.
Malt matters.
That, yeah. But
there you go,
it definitely gives a, you know, a profile that is definitely unique and stuff. No, I like this. It is complex. I'll leave it at that, I guess. I don't
know. You don't want to sound stupid?
No, for the most part, yeah.
I'll let it myself mouth feel quickly, and there is complexity too if you just let it sit in there for a little bit. And you mentioned, I think, three different malt varieties in there.
Well, three different types. So it's the regular, just unmalted, malted rye. There's a like an amber, Simpson's amber rye malt, and then some. Can't remember if it's wire. I think it's Wireman's chocolate rye. So there's
that's one that caught my ear. Yeah,
three different combinations. The chocolate rye is pretty minimal. That's the only malt that we I was chatting with our rep from BSG. I said the only thing I haven't picked up from you guys was 2 pounds of chocolate rye malt that I had to go up to Northern Brewer just because we didn't know what we were going to do with a 50-pound bag for a test recipe on this one. I said I don't know what I'm going to do with 53 other pounds if that's what's going in. And it's been a hot seller.
It's got
so
a great body.
I told, I said you can put me down for the next order when it's coming through. I'll do it in big batches.
Great body, great flavor.
I'd say it's probably one. I mean, our IPAs, the CTZ, like we talked about before, is a very popular one. Amber, as what he mentioned, was we thought would be our flagship. But the red rye, I think, because it's probably our most full bodied and I'd say one of our more probably the hoppiest that we have on tap. People kind of gravitate towards that. That really like the hops, and you know they have a sample, and they're like, "Oh, yep, that's the one." So it's definitely a very popular beer, and you know I'm glad that we have it back on tap.
Yeah, I guess to go back to complexity. It's just it has so many different flavor profiles to it, where different parts touch different part of the tongue, and you know it is enjoyable because of that. I think because there's so many different flavors kind of happening, and you know how they work together. So
yeah, it's not necessarily you don't need seven of them out on a boat cruise around the lake.
No,
two or three around the campfire will do just fine.
No, we can get by with that.
And so it checks in. It's a little
bit stronger.
We're
in the back of the boat.
Yeah.
We'll do what we want.
If you're not driving, no BUIs. We're IBUs, not BUIs.
Yep. Hey, I like that. And then Snapline, one of your good winter warmers.
Yeah. So right Snapline is a new one. We just tapped it just over a week ago. And it was a fun little twist on seeing what we could do for mash infusions. When you're talking about, malt matters. The mash can be obviously just as important as anything going into the boil as far as the hop side of it. Also taking into account what you're doing when you're mashing through and what temp you're putting that grain at and your enzyme activity. But you can also have some extra fun in there. And part of that was we actually took a couple dozen ginger snap cookies, hucked them in the mash just for fun before we did the molasses and fresh ginger in the boil. So it gave it that extra little boost. And then also adding all that molasses brought us up to about a 9.5% ABV. So it does a solid job of fighting
just,
that cold
out
there.
Just a bit of sugar in there?
There's a tad, but yeah, our starting gravity was a bit higher than – it was actually the highest one that we've worked with yet. So, you know, we're still in the new phase, so.
And the cookies were local, correct?
Yeah. We went with I cleared out the shelf at Eileen's Colossal Cookies. Their gals behind the counter were sweethearts. They said, "How much for all of that?" And so, well, it's you know X amount for this you know the 6-pack. And I said, "No, all of that. Like not like that pack that I'm pointing at. Like that shelf. Give me that shelf and put it in a box. And we're gonna go dump it into our tank tonight."
How do you know how much you get?
I mean, is it just that was kind of a shot in the dark?
Yeah, shot in the dark.
I think you hit the mark because, I mean, you intrigued me off air right as we walked in. You were describing some of the beers, and I'm like, that one just intrigued me because I love using the local resources, you know, and that being, you know, the local bakery and something that they're good at and incorporating it in. So I was intrigued to try that to begin with, and I'm loving this beer. It really has a nice flavor to it. The ginger's there, it nice balance. The heat's hidden because I guess I missed the 9.5 when I first started having it because I'm not noticing it as I'm enjoying it. I think the flavor's there, but the ginger's really nice. Molasses subtly right in the back end of that.
I think the ginger kind of masks it a little bit, which is nice. And you know, especially with this beer with the local feel, you know, that's something that Emmett and myself have talked about a lot is, you know, the community, the Prior Lake community or just the South Metro community. You know, we haven't talked about the Wake Zone yet, but I know you guys have had some of the Wake Zone. We get the espresso beans from a local place, and also the you know, the vanilla beans we just get at a local grocery store. But you know, the main thing was getting, you know, local businesses involved and seeing what we can do, but also giving back to the community as much as we possibly can. So you know, there's a lot of things that you know, we want to do in our tenure here is, you know, dealing with the community and doing as much as we can and supporting them by, you know, using their products in our beer.
Yeah, we did a fresh hop this fall that was super popular. And sadly, you can only do a fresh hop once a year until hydroponic systems come through. I know there's a couple of groups working on some cool things that might turn fresh hops into almost a year-round affair as far as liquor store shelves. But on our small scale, there's a little Monpa type shop. They just planted a 1 acre of Cascades a couple miles down the road, just over the border in Jordan.
Specifically and, for you or just in general?
No, they just in general, they're starting it up. And he reached out to me and said, hey, we've got local Cascades. What would you be able to do with them? Or would you be interested in picking some up? And I said, absolutely. We'd love to support as local as possible. You know, bring me by, I'll take, you know, 5-10 pounds and we'll see in a batch what that can do for us. And we got to chatting, and he said, well, our, you know, harvest time's almost up. And I said, perfect. I'll take, you know, whatever can fit into one of my double batch tanks, and we'll dry hop with that. And so we did their 2017 crop of their pelletized hops was in our boil, and then 30 pounds of their 2018 harvest went right into the fermenter. And we literally racked right on top of that and let it ferment out in primary on that one. And that one was a super hot seller. So we're looking to bring back that same beer and then do a couple iterations with different variations of a dry hop. And then I'll always cycle back to that one in the fall is going with the Ken and Christine Barledge's Cascade hops.
And we also did a raspberry golden ale, which another couple that lives, I think, about a mile and a half to 2 miles away had a big raspberry farm or not a farm, but a garden or something that they have.
Their backyard is half raspberries. Plot. And he said, I got to get rid of them. Otherwise, you know, he's like, if you don't harvest them, the bugs just come in. And I don't want to deal with that. And I said, well, how much are you harvesting? He said, I don't know. You can have everything you want. And I said, I need like 12 pounds to match this batch from what we did the last time. And he said, okay, well, we'll see. Next day he came in with 13 pounds of raspberries and we pureed them up and put them right in the tank. And it ended up being another fun little end of summer harvest beer that we normally wouldn't have had on.
Yeah. And that was the raspberry golden. And we put it on nitro, which was a fun twist because the original raspberry golden was on CO2 and everybody liked it. And we're like, yeah, let's tweak it a little. And that's like, we've talked about is kind of one of the things that we want to do is have those anchors, but then those buoys are, you know, maybe a little bit outside the box where put a raspberry golden ale on nitro. You know, yeah. Let's just see what happens.
In the craft beer world, nothing is too weird anymore. So it's not like really we're not pushing the bounds and making the helium beer that you see on April Fool's every year. But you know, just trying fun stuff that we can twist on our own brews and then finding a story to go with it and why, you know, why did we put this twist on here or where are we going with you know, this session or why was it fermented colder rather than hotter, or like we were chatting about off air with, you know, our Hefeweizen, we had a glycol line that wasn't functioning properly and it wasn't holding temperature. So we just pitch the yeast as cold as we could go, and I was throwing snow around my tank to keep it cold for a couple days, and it ended up giving it a really cool clove taste at the beginning and a nice little banana zing at the tail end of it. And it's those happy accidents where either there's a story built into why it came about or why we tried to design it makes it a little bit more fun. You know, and good beer is just a ticket to the show, but I think a story behind it or, you know, a tale that goes with it, which is true to any fisherman who's out on the lake. A fish tail can be a little bit bigger than the actual
holy
catch.
Holy hell, look at that catch.
Yeah. But it makes the day more enjoyable. So if there's a story, if somebody can, you know, when we get into doing crowlers or canning, if somebody can turn that can around and read a little story of why is the, you know, the Thermocline Cream Ale and the Limnion Cream Lager the exact same beer, but it's just fermented at two different temperatures. And you can have both stories next to each other and say they were just fermented one colder than the other. And it's when you jump off the front of a pontoon and you hit that cold water about 5-10 feet down, that line in the lake is the Thermocline, and the Limnion being that separate level, it's colder, warmer, and they're just the same beer fermented with two different yeasts at their appropriate temperatures. And it makes it a fun little story. And that's where we get people that come in that I've never touched craft beer before, and they just want to try it because it's a new thing in town. I'm like, awesome. You know, what do you normally drink? I'm like, wine? Sorry. Like, don't be sorry. If you know what you like, that helps us, because if you say, well, I don't know, and I don't know, and I don't know, if I can hand you two beers and you can tell me which one you like more, that points us in a direction like for what we can hand you next. Yeah.
A or B.
A or B.
B or D.
One or two.
C or D.
Better or worse? Better or worse. Yeah. We did a lot of better or worse for 3 years at little public tastings, and it worked out because we were starting to find things that people wanted to keep on tap, and we'll keep brewing it if they keep drinking it.
So as we finish the snap line in our hands, the English dark ale with ginger molasses, I think it's a good case study of how palates differ. So I think all three of you agree that you get more of the ginger out of it, right?
I get the molasses. You can taste that baked sugar.
You seem younger at heart. So I was going to say, I'm getting the molasses more too, but that's because I'm less familiar with that flavor, so it stands out more to me.
Mm-hmm.
Good all around. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful body, just coats the mouth, nice flavor, nice kind of tan white head. It's a beautiful beer. I get the molasses out of it. I enjoy it. And we talked about this on the prior show. Tillian Brewing had a ginger molasses beer, and so now we've had two this winter, and like this is a great beer to seek out. Like this is something that's really enjoyable. Obviously, weather appropriate, right?
Truly.
Warms you up a little bit, but it's nice. It's a great body, great flavor. It's not gonna make me seek out molasses cookies necessarily, but in liquid form, I like it.
It'll make for a nice pairing if you do that side by side with a little something to dunk in there, you know.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to go with that pairing thing, because I think the molasses seems subtle here compared to Tillian's, where I felt like there's a bolder molasses flavor. And I like molasses in the sense of it works well for that kind of a thing. It's just in this case, I feel like the ginger is just coming out a little bit more. But again,
the nitrogen pushes that up.
It comes down
to
wherever you're sitting at that exact moment and everything else.
Well, and I'm not comparing beer to beer. I'm comparing your palate to my palate, where you guys, two of you, pull out ginger.
I think it's more ginger.
Where I pull out more molasses.
Yeah.
That's because it's more of a obscure flavor to me, so it stands out more.
Well, and the interesting thing on that one was that, you know, again, not to take away from you guys in this discussion, but when we were having that beer, I had previously been in their tap room and had that beer on tap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that time I felt like the ginger was more up front, didn't notice molasses. But then the one we had had actually been bottled. And I think the bottling really brought the molasses, that deepness of the molasses kind of came through on it. So I think it's just, again, beer changes so much just over time and everything else.
We were chatting about stuff, pulling aside some of this or putting another batch in the tanks before this polar vortex leaves us, and maybe use that as another theme and put it in a few barrels, you know, downstairs to age for next year, and having something more holiday appropriate. If we're doing, oh yeah, gingerbread or ginger snap cookie, we're like, yeah, why not release that 3 weeks after Christmas? Totally fits the theme. So far, our marketing's been good, but maybe not on point as far as all of our calendar timing goes. So we're working on that. We'll see what we can tweak in for next year, and we'll see if a bottle-aged version
that seems to be a common theme between a lot of new brewers. Just like, Yeah, we missed that window by just a little bit for that event.
Yeah, I think we'll have to talk to our marketing manager about that.
Yeah, have your brewer take a look at his schedule to see what's going on back there.
I see you're available between 3:45 and 4 a.m.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll put another batch in the tanks. I did last night. We cleaned up at about 4:45.
I think to your point, though, is the thing that I think I've learned the most being here is everybody's palate is different. You know, and you know, like you were saying, you both kind of brought something different out of that beer. And like you could give a beer to 4 to 10 different people and they could all say they taste something different.
Well, and I feel like my palate changes based upon time of year.
Sure.
And also just over time, like certain things that I'm like, oh, I used to love that. And also I'm like, I don't know if I love that anymore. You know,
yep.
Case in point, used to love Special Export. Now you wonder what the hell is wrong with yeah. you. Know?
But I think that was the toughest part for me.
Green Babies.
Green Death.
There's a case of those in the fridge up at the cabin, right next to that moose head from each of my different uncles. And that was Uncle Bruce had this
green
case
death
of Green Babies.
Green Death with some green olives in it while playing darts. Oh, God.
But I think
that's
the
fun memories right there.
The toughest part for me was
I wanted looking green in the morning.
Yeah. I wanted everybody to like the beer. And it's like some people have different tastes.
Yep.
And when I finally kind of accepted that, it's like, oh, great. People love my beer. Well, okay. That's all I care about, you know?
Well, as we wrap up here, I want to make sure we touch on a couple more beers that Ira and I were able to have. Kevin, you mentioned the Wake Zone, the Vanilla Espresso Porter. That was a nice offering, bringing the malty, roasty body with the coffee flavor. So I think that was a good representation of that style and obviously seasonally appropriate, but it's also a beer I would drink in July. So is that something you guys are going to hold on to for a little bit or just kind of work in the spring and let it go?
No, that's one that we feel has been highly sought after. It was actually when we had it on during the summertime. This is iteration number 3 of that brew, and we had it on. It was probably 2/3 of our sales before noon when the farmer's market is out front for us on Saturday mornings. People would be hopping in and saying, you know, picking up even just a 10 ounce or a pint and whatever, you know, gets them through the next 2 hours of the farmer's market and you stop and then go hit the other side of the street.
Yeah,
exactly. And that, you know, that's the fun side of it is people come in, try one of those and then pick up another growler for what they're going to be, you know, accompanying their grilling out that night when they came in to pick up whatever meat and veggies they were doing on the grill that night.
And then we both had the Impersonator, the Doppelbock. So nice, sweet, malty, maybe a little bit bigger, right?
Yep. That was round 2 of our Mutiny series. So the Mutiny series is of the, I don't know how many, probably 70 or 80 batches that have gone through the tank so far, or, you know, 100 brew days. There have been 2 days, 2 full calendar days where I haven't been in this building. And the first one was my brother's wedding on August 25th. And our assistant brewers, Matt and George, came in and each did their own beer. So they took over the ship while the captain was ashore. And so
you guys are on point. Jesus Christ.
It's goofy. It's gimmicky, but it's fun, too. And so
is this how you talk every day?
Yeah, well, you're normally with more of a
yeah, it's great.
Trust me, this is pretty much on
these are the texts he gets at 3 in the morning.
It's like the old thing with wrestling. As long as you do it believably, everyone else will believe it too.
Yeah, right.
You
know, pick your theme and go.
What have you thought about cutting off part of your leg and go with peg leg on this? Or
I don't know if we're going to be willing to go that far, but yeah, we'll see.
Let's not commit to that level quite yet. Maybe when you guys make year 5.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can look at amputation.
5-year anniversary, cutting off the leg.
Time for amputation. It was our blood.
You lose a leg, you lose an arm. I'll have a hook, you have a peg leg.
You know, I'll do the eye patch just so we can see downstairs if the lighting's terrible.
There you go.
But, yeah, so that was our Mutiny series, and it was the Mild Tantrum. It was George's brown ale that was the first one that day, and then Matt came in and did his Impersonator for a Doppelbock, and I think he hit it out of the park with that one. So this is round 2 on it. He gave me permission to rebrew his Mutiny. So this is the captain's correction. We kind of joke on the paperwork in the back, but it's still the same beer, just round 2, and it came through just as great, and everybody's loving it, and it's appropriate for the season, but it'll also probably be making its rounds and come back throughout the year as well.
Well, Emmett, Kevin, the brothers, the Boathouse brothers, appreciate you having us in the house.
Oh, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for coming down. We appreciate having you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Cheers.
Hey, this is Andrew Burns with another Style of the Week. This week, I want to talk about dry stout. Now, a lot of you know this beer is coming from Ireland, but it has roots back to London. Avid listeners of the show will remember our talk about the historic porter style. And stout really is an abbreviation for stout porter because it's a stronger version of a porter. Now, I don't mean stronger in terms of alcohol content, but a stronger flavor, a more robust flavor. And that comes from the addition of roasted barley. Think of this as barley that's been roasted almost like coffee, and it does really give a chocolatey coffee-like roasted character to it. Now, I said this was a dry stout, which means it's got a dry finish, which means very low sweetness. So this is a dark, dark, opaque beer, lots of coffee roasted flavors, usually only 4 to 5%, but with a very dry finish, which means it doesn't have any lingering sweetness.
That's going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to Kevin and Emmett with Boathouse Brothers Brewing in beautiful Prior Lake for hosting us. I know we had a good time. We had been there before. It seems like there's always a weather event when I go there. It was a snowy day, but very comfy on the inside. We didn't check out the pontoon area as we talked about. Maybe next time we can go there and take over.
Yeah, well, they were starting to get a little busy and everything else. But yeah, no, had a great conversation. Ended up being a little surprised by a couple of the beers and stuff, so... well worth the visit. And again, it just kind of goes to show that to give people, you know, give a brewery a chance, because, you know, I know some people were frustrated when they first opened because a lot of people went there right away and they were out of beer and, you know, a couple other things, and they were still in the infancy or learning stages of some of the stuff. And I end up having a couple beers that I really enjoyed, you know, so I'm looking forward to get back there and trying a couple other of the beers there. And so hats off to them, and look forward to talking to them in the future.
Yeah, I liked a lot of what I had. And as we talked about with Kevin and Emmett, that when you open a brewery, you're hoping you do the best you can, but you're always going to get better. And it doesn't matter if you make the best beer day one, you're going to get better. At least you hope you do. So they had some learning curves, and they've come a long way, and I definitely look forward to getting back to there. I was impressed with a lot of the different styles they had. The number of beers they had almost... Mm-hmm. Fantastic, and everything we had I enjoyed and definitely would go back and get more of. So definitely check out Prior Lake, check out Boathouse Brothers Brewing. It's not that far away, as we like to say always on the show. They're not that far. They're easy to get to, convenient, and good guys, good place, good beer. So go check them out. We will be back in 2 weeks. That's 11 a.m. March 2nd, Saturday, of course, here at FM 95.1 AM 1080 KY Wyman Radio. We're going to have Half Pint Brewing Company out of Waseca, a brew farm. A newer operation opened up last fall. They've had some hours throughout the winter. They're going to obviously be heading into spring here with a lot of excitement behind them, a little momentum behind them. I know they've had a great draw so far when they've been open. I think pretty much limited to like Fridays and Saturdays. We have not been down there yet. Looking forward to getting down there for this, and I'm sure taking a couple spring and summer trips down there as well and enjoying the views. And it's supposed to be beautiful. Right on site. I know you're looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to getting down there. I love the farm concept, everything else. I mean, we talked to one of our first ones was, of course, Joe Evaldi, you know, and he was doing a lot of stuff, but you can't go visit him. And so I love the concept of growing everything there locally. They're definitely a smaller audience of A, where they're at, but B, you know, time frame, they're not open as much, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how that develops. That one's going to be one that's going to be really fun to watch over the next year or two as they start being able to grow their own stuff, add stuff in. You know, we've talked to Loon Liquor, where they want to do the kind of the same thing where start growing their own stuff. So I really like the idea that taking craft and really adding craft to it, you know, to see what they can bring to it. So really looking forward to it. Hopefully they live up to the hype.
Yeah, there's something to be said about having ownership and control over the ingredients. And, you know, we're not always in the most friendly climate up here for growing. So it's nice to see when places are able to incorporate some of that into their production. So really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a great conversation. I think we're probably going to learn a thing or two.
Oh, yeah.
And we could benefit from that.
Yep.
Maybe even three or four things. So make sure you check back in 2 weeks for that show. If you want to keep up with who's coming up on future shows, Facebook's a great place. We occasionally post that stuff on Twitter and Instagram, but you can find us in all those places at OnTap Northfield. Facebook's kind of where we have the event page and let you know who's coming up on future shows. We're also on podcast platforms if you want to catch up with prior shows, iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called now, Google Play, iHeartRadio, your preferred podcast platform. Wherever you listen to this show, you can probably find it at the same place. We appreciate you joining us today. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Cheers.